I'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 16. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all of the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. You can be seated.
Happy Mother's Day. It is great to be with you on this Lord's Day, and it's great to have our members here, and it's great to have some guests and visitors with us, and we're thankful you're here. And also, it's good to have some returnees, some folks that are some of our own that have come back to see family, and I'm glad that Seven Oaks is a part of your weekend. It is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there, and we certainly love and appreciate and are grateful for what mothers do for our church family, but especially for our own families and what they mean to us. This morning, we're going to be thinking about mothers, obviously, with being Mother's Day, and the title of our sermon nailed it. I joked with Don about that. It sounded like Ryan did it because he's always has more creative titles out on the sign than I do. But I got this title from what often is seen on the internet, places like Facebook or other social media, where they'll put up a picture of what it was supposed to be, like in this situation, a rubber ducky cupcake, and then they'll show you what they did, and they'll have the caption, "Nailed it." And these are always very funny. They have this one, for example, of a minion cake. See what it's supposed to be, and this is what it turned out. Nailed that thing, you know. And the baby ones are some of my favorite. When Amanda showed me these before, the baby ones are just pretty hilarious. Because if you have kids and you've ever tried to do stage photos or you've tried to go and pay someone to do photos, it never turns out the way you want it to. At least it doesn't typically with my kids. And so you got this precious little baby, and this person tried to do it, and there it is. Nailed it. I mean, that is so my kids. Just laid them out there long and lanky out over there. Just nailed that picture. And then this one for the holidays, all wrapped up in lights and glowing. And then, once again, this should be my kids. Boom, nailed it. Just scared to death of all the lights. Got him wrapped up. And then Amanda carried this for a while, too, when she was a mother. You know, I joked that Landon had such an attachment to her because for the first year of his life, he was always in that thing. And nobody here even knew what his face looked like for a long time. Look at this lady. Nailed it. Got that down. Now, I use these, and I think the reason these connect so much with ladies and women is because women feel like this is their life. They have a goal, they have a picture of what they want to do, and what they want to do is mothers, and they try to do that, and they feel like they come up woefully short. And their attempt at nailing it is just humorous and often tearful and sad and guilt-ridden. And they feel like they missed it and they never measure up. And they go to bed often feeling like they failed. And so when we think about nailing it, I want to think about this concept this morning of and how mothers can identify with this of having a goal but not accomplishing it. And I think a part of this comes from the most famous text surrounding women and mothers, and that's Proverbs 31. And I figure when I put that text out there, a lot of ladies are like, "Oh, good, another lesson on Proverbs 31. Get to hear all the things that I am not," because this is like the perfect lady in Proverbs 31. And in this text, of course, we have the excellent wife and mother described. And as you go through the text, you'll find that she is more precious than rubies and jewels. And she does him good and not harm. She is the model wife, but yet she's also involved in business. For example, verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant who brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night, so she gets up early, beats everybody up, provides food for her household. So she's someone who cooks and does all these cleaning tasks, and yet she also goes out and works. She considers a field and buys it. The fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. So she can cook, she can clean, she gets up earliest, she can plant a vineyard, she can buy a field. She perceives her merchandise, verse 18, is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In fact, she sometimes doesn't even sleep. She just leaves her lamp on all night. Verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She can sew. She opens up her hands to the poor. She gives to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes her bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is well respected, known at the gates. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time of come. And as we read through that, we have the picture of the virtuous woman, and then we have our picture. And we say, nailed it. Because we feel like our picture is woefully short of this virtuous woman and this godly mother. Now, there's a couple things I think about this text that we need to understand. That she is certainly a model. And I want to suggest that she is, and this text is a wonderful text that we should love and appreciate and study. And there's great lessons there for us. But I also want to emphasize that it is a model. The text, and we miss this because we're reading in English, but it is an acrostic poem from the A to Z, we might say in English, with each verse starting in the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it is a poem of wisdom in wisdom literature, the book of Proverbs. It's not describing a particular woman, but rather it's a wisdom hymn to what the model woman is. And it's giving us a model of women of wisdom similar to chapters 1 through 9, which describes wisdom personified as a woman calling in the streets. And so there's certainly a wonderful model here, but it also should not be misused. It's encouraging you to try to live this model, but it's also not expecting you to be all of this model. In other words, there's going to be some ladies who are going to be very good at the business part of it, but may not be very good at sewing. There's going to be some that are going to be good at cooking, but may not be the best at buying a field and planting an orchard. It's an overall model of principles. But let's not misuse the text and make it out to be some perfect woman that all of us are to try to be. And so, how do you feel? How do you truly nail it as a mother? How do you truly nail it as a mother? How do you try to see this model with all these possibilities, and how do you try to be the best you can be and live out your potential and take the principles that are found in Proverbs 31 and other passages and nail it so that what you picture is not so different than what you are? Well, here's some suggestions. The first thing is find peace. And there's three of these. Find peace in your God-given role and status. Proverbs 31 is not supposed to make you feel bad. I don't believe it is. It's a hymn of wisdom extolling the ideal. It's extolling and praising the beauty and the ideal of womanhood and of motherhood. You see, it's written to a culture who devalued the role of women, who did not value mothers enough. And it's trying to show that God has ordained beauty and wisdom in the role of a wife and mother. It's extolling and praising the ideal. It gives you aspects of all that a woman is to be, but not every woman obviously is going to excel in each area. You see, the text should give women encouragement in their role as a woman. They have a special place in God's heart. You see, we have to understand Proverbs 31, as I've talked about. But number two, or no, a second idea there, is that mothers have this essential part in God's plan. When you think about the role of a mother throughout the Bible, you go all the way back to the patriarchal age and you see some great women like Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Leah. Then you come up to Moses and his mother Jochebed and Miriam, his sister, and Rahab and this Gentile woman who has great faith in God and Deborah the judge. And you go on through with ladies like Ruth and Esther and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the women who supported and followed Jesus. And the Bible is filled with examples of ladies who had an essential role to play in God's plan. You see, what we learn from this idea is that God has valued and given women a great and specific purpose and status. And we should be thankful and appreciative. Turn to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, 3 through 5, the text says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." God has a great place in His heart and in His will for the role and for the job of mothers and women. Women offer great service to the kingdom. When you think about finding peace in your God-given role, I'm talking about the concept of not always striving and being unhappy with what your role in your life is. Part of this may be accepting forgiveness or your status before God. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ." There's a real sense where all of us are never going to measure up to the ideal picture, and we have to accept the forgiveness and the peace of God. You see, we must find peace in the place, in the time, the age, the role, whether you're a mother or grandmother, whether you've not been able to be blessed yet with even being a wife or a mother. God still has a role for you. God still loves you. There's a real sense of if you're always feeling like a failure, like you just have miserably nailed it, that God is wanting you to know that you need to find peace and purpose in the role that you're in. In the movie Mother's Night Out, which is a Christian base, I use that term in the broad sense of the word, comedy, and it's a good comedy, and I would encourage maybe check it out and rent it sometime this week for in thinking about Mother's Day. But it's about a mother who feels like her picture is way off and she's missed it, and she's so stressed out and she's failing as a mother, and she's trying to do all these things, and she has this very comical wild night with, she's going to have a night out with a couple of ladies from church, and the men are going to keep the children, and it all goes wrong. And it gets a little crazy, but it's funny. But as a part of that show, they end up having to go to jail. And as a part of that, Trace Adkins is like this rough biker. And he's giving some advice. I want to read part of the advice he gives because it's saying what I'm saying here. He says, "I doubt the good Lord made a mistake giving your kiddos the mama he did. So just be you, and He'll take care of the rest." Yeah, there's a sense where we don't want to overdo that. We need to always strive, and we want to try to always improve, and we need to understand that we have to have a desire to be like Christ. But there's also a sense, and I think this is the point here, where we have to find rest and peace in the talents and the purpose and the role that God has given us. and realize that we can never reach perfection. But God is proud, and God has a desire for us to be who we are. So be you. Find peace in your God-given role and status. That leads me to the next one. Realize that motherhood is not about performance. Motherhood is not about performance. Many mothers find themselves striving and pushing always to be more. They feel like they're always being demanded of and expected of more and more. Someone said, I was talking to you yesterday, they said, mothers are proof that evolution is not true. Because if evolution was true, you know, evolution, survival of the fittest, and we adapt to our environment and things, mothers would have far more than two arms and two hands. Right? Because mothers have all these needs to always be doing everything, and they would need more arms and hands. That's how mothers often feel. You see, we need to understand, though, that motherhood is not about performance. Look to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. This is an important verse for us as Christians and an important verse for us as mothers today. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Think about that. When you're constantly comparing yourself with others, you're using the wrong standard. You know, when we put those pictures up, we put up the one picture. Probably a professional baker made some of those cakes and those rubber duckies. Probably a professional photographer made some of those photographers' photographs. And then we try to do it, and we can't live up to it. Think about what we do when we compare ourselves always by some other mother. And we compare ourselves by worldly standards. Too many women get focused on, do my kids wear the right clothes? Do they have the right friends? Do I drive the right vehicle? Do I have the right job? Am I making enough money? Do we have all the things of this world? Or do I have the outward things, my body, my appearance, all these things? And what we're doing is we're comparing ourselves by other standards. And we look at some other mom, some other lady, maybe they're in church, maybe they're older, maybe it's our own mom, and we say, well, I don't live up to that. And there's a sense where other models can be great for us, but there's also a sense if we're always comparing ourselves by someone else we think is better, Paul says it's foolish. It's not good to always be comparing yourself by these other standards. And so realize that motherhood is not about performance, but what is it about? What does the Bible tell mothers to be about? Mothers are to be about love. You see, when there is jealousy, which is what comparing ourselves leads to, that's why there can be a lot of jealousy between women and mothers and things, because we feel like ultimately jealousy often comes from, I'm not the person I want to be, so I'm jealous of you because you are the person I want to be. And so we're really feeling bad about ourselves, and we find someone else that we think is better, and then we're jealous of them, and then we treat them bad. And where jealousy is, James says, every evil thing will be. It leads to all kinds of problems. But what God wants us to focus on, Titus chapter 2 again, love your husbands and love your children. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7, Paul compares his relationship with the Thessalonians as a mother. You see, being a mother and mothering as a verb is about nurturing and loving and caring and offering yourself. And it's not about the performance, but it's about offering yourself and your love. And it's not about keeping off the time. Well, I spent so many hours with my kid, or I spent so much time baking, or I prepared 5 good meals this week. But it's about offering yourself as a love, offering your love to your husband and to your children, and being someone who does what God has created them to do. Mother, nurture, build up, edify, encourage, and love. So motherhood is not all about the performance, but it's about the role of being a mother. Notice the third thing I would suggest as we think about nailing it is finally we have to rely upon the Lord. Rely upon the Lord. What I mean by this is that mothers, if they're going to nail it, have to be willing to turn it over and trust in the Lord. Realize that they can't do it all on their own. There's a couple texts I want you to look to. 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Bible says, and this is in the context of widows and talking about widows that are truly widows in verses 5 and 6, but I want to apply it in a broader way, and I think it fits pretty well. She who is truly a widow and left all alone has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Now here's the principle that is there. The one who hopes and puts their trust in God is to be blessed, and that's where their hope is set. And Paul says, honor that kind of widow. But the other kind of widow, who is self-indulgent and is self-seeking and is only concerned about themselves, he says they're already dead. They're already fleshly dead or spiritually dead. But let me apply that to mothers. The mother that is always focused on their self and the fleshly things of this world and having everything be up to the standards of the world is going to live a life of stress and a life of jealousy and a life of feeling like they never measure up. But notice what Paul is saying here is the mother, the woman, even the Christian who can set their hope on God and continue in supplications and prayers throughout their life, night and day. That's the focus. You see, what we're saying here is you realize that your hope, your faith, is not in all these outward standards, but it's in God. It's relying upon the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs writer would say in verses 5 and 7 very famously, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You see, this is a tough one. But it's really what all of us, men and women, struggle with, is trying to truly trust and rely upon the Lord. You see, what we're saying is that just like these godly mothers in the Bible who face these testing situations, like Jochebed, Moses' mother, who was forced by the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, that all the Hebrew children should be put to death, but she chose to trust in God. Or Hannah, who, when she had been barren and not able to have a child, trusted in God and said she would give that child back to God. She faced a very difficult situation, but she prayed and she trusted. She relied upon the Lord. That's the focus. Just like Timothy's mom and grandmother, trusting in the Lord. So what we're suggesting here is that we pray for our children. We be intentional about instilling faith within them. And we let them see your struggles. And we let them see your faith. You see, being a mother, being a godly mother, is about loving and mothering. And about living a life of faith. Not a life of success and perfection, but a life of faithfulness. A life that when you fall in your faith, you get back up and you continue to persevere in faith. And so, as we think about your picture, and you have some ideal picture in your mind, and that's what you want to be. But often, you feel like your picture, whatever picture I would put up there, or you would put up there, is far off of what the ideal is. Let me encourage you to find peace in your God-given role and status in Christ, that you are forgiven if you're a child of God. Let me encourage you to realize that motherhood is not about performance, but it's about love and about being a mother. Let me encourage you to allow God to fill in your weaknesses by relying upon the Lord. And remember that God did not require us to be perfect, but He requires faithfulness. Faithfulness. And so as you think about nailing it, maybe the best way you can nail it this morning is to remember that you're never going to be that perfect picture. But you can be the picture that God can shape. And that when you turn your life over to God and you allow Him to shape you, you're not going to be maybe all that you envision, but you'll be something far better. Something that God has shaped in your life over time and years and through His Word and through prayer. If you'll allow God to mold you and God to shape you. If you're in need of the Lord's invitation this morning, you need to put Christ on in baptism. What a great way to begin. What a great way to celebrate Mother's Day by giving your life to Christ. If you need to rededicate your life, come us together, we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been held to the cross.